Any more questions before we begin? Yeah.
What's the difference between third stage devotion and what might look like seduction from the other stages?
Yeah, there's no difference except one is for the sake of the other and one is for the sake of yourself. If you're doing it to get something, it's first stage. If you're doing it to give something, it's third stage.
When we were all dancing, it felt great to really let go, but I'm afraid that it will be misinterpreted as seduction.
It will in any first stage moment by any man or woman.
It was very powerful to be received.
It's extraordinary when you're in a third stage moment of giving and you're with somebody who honors you in that third stage way. Why would you want to live any other way? And the only reason you aren't with somebody like that is because you're living another way. It is the feminine third stage devotion is absolutely irresistible. You cannot be alone if you're offering that. It is impossible. You couldn't walk from here to your cabin without men
But men who are in the first and second stage get scared of me in my third stage, and they run, and there you are in your love and devotion, but you're alone.
What, would you rather have first and second stage sleazeballs hanging on you? Well, what are you complaining about? If you're alone and you think you're in the third stage, you're not. You may have moments of being in the third stage, but if you really sustain that and make yourself just walk down the street to third stage, go into a restaurant, sustain the third stage, go to a party in the third stage, find out what happens. It'll be a matter of you needing to discriminate who you even allow near you. That's why we did the number things yesterday, and we're going to continue today where we're saying 8, 6, 5, because you need to feel how open someone is, and you want someone who's like in the 8, 9, 10 no matter what you do. So, you know, you accidentally spill your wine on their white shirt and see if they stay in the 8, 9, 10 level. You kick their shin, oops, see if they stay in the 8, 9, 10 level. You know? Look at another man, say how handsome and successful that man is, see if he stays in the 8, 9, 10 level. And if he's at the 8, 9, 10 level through that, he's probably fairly trustable for another date. Then go to his house, see how he lives, because a man or a woman's house is a direct reflection of their mind. And then meet his friends, because there's no better reflection of a man's depth than his best friends. If his close friends are really good men, he's a really good man. If he has no close friends, dump him. And if his close friends are all sleazebags, but even worse is when a man doesn't have close friends.
Why is that?
See, that's another dumpo. It's almost, when you're... To answer that question is so funny to me. What are you going to do when you're wide open? I mean, what are you going to do with your life? So when you're not serving, now what are you going to do? I mean, when you're not doing it in some formal manner. So you're just like, you have an hour. You might sit by yourself for the hour. But if you're going to spend time with anyone, exactly, it's going to be a third stage people. And if you're a man in the third stage, you can't spend time around third stage women for long without either fucking them or just sitting there very formally and respecting each other. And so if you want to just play openly, it's with other men in a third stage way. That's the only way to like totally let down your hair, so to speak, you know, and just like be wide open and shoot the shit at the third stage. If you do that with a third stage woman, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it temporarily, but if you did that for long, the sexual polarity would become so intense, it would be a strain just to maintain formality. You'd eventually just have to go, look, it's time for me to go. Which would be a healthy thing to do, unless you're both dating and are available to each other. But otherwise, so a man who's in, a man's friends reflect how developed he is. Now, if a man only hangs around women, in general, that's a reflection of total fear of the masculine. He just doesn't like his ass kicked. He doesn't like being called on his shit. He likes support and nurturing and friendship from women. And so the other way to say it is, why would a third stage man have very many women friends in any case? What is he getting from them that he doesn't get from his chosen woman? You might have some friends. I mean, obviously everyone has friends. But what is? Why would he go, I don't want to be with my woman now. I want to be with her. How often would that occur? Just not that often. I mean, then you might have friends you see and all of that. But I mean, how often would you actually go, I don't want to be with my chosen intimate partner. I want to be with this woman who I'm not going to have sex with, but I get something with that I don't get from my wife. I mean, if you've chosen someone you trust that much, you go all the way with her, and the amount of time you actually spend with other women is, I mean, random, minimal, whatever. I mean, it's no big deal. It's, you don't avoid it, but it's, you don't need it either. So that's why. Yeah.
Would that be the same for women?
Yeah, absolutely. The best possible way to be in a good relationship with a man, if you want to be, or to find a man, is to totally eliminate all your contact with men and to maximize your contact with women. Spend the day rolling around in rose-scented oil, eating strawberries dipped in chocolate, drinking wine, and dancing with your lady friends in ecstasy. And do that for as many weeks as it takes so you relax. And when you're relaxed, allow yourself to be exposed for a moment to some men. They'll all go. Go back to the ladies. But any time you are with a man and you don't trust him enough to have sex with, you're closing your sexuality off with that man in that moment. You're saying, well, I'll choose to open this much with you, but I'm certainly not going to have sex with you. And that takes a certain degree of, it's hard to describe, it's both subtle and physical armoring or closure. And temporarily, that's fine. I mean, in the world we live in, you have to do that occasionally. But why would you choose to do that? Like, well, now I'm going to go out to lunch with somebody because I want to develop tension in my body. I want to learn how to be with a man and not open sexually. You do that for a few years, just have lunch with men that you enjoy or even love as best friends, but you know, you're not having sex with them. And what happens is your body gets used to being loving and not sexual. Now you do that for a few years and finally you meet a man who you love and you go to bed with him and your body has just rehearsed, practiced loving non-sexually for years. You get all kinds of situations in bed where you could either have sex or love but find difficulty doing both, or you love this man, but why isn't he as sexually exciting as these other men who you've had sex with who you don't really love, but they're great in bed? And it's all because you've differentiated your openness from your sexuality by necessity because you're hanging around with men you're not having sex with. It's much better to just, again, I mean, there's nothing wrong with spending time with men occasionally, but how often would you really choose to be halfway open with a man, to enjoy a little of his masculine energy without opening all the way? And what effect does that have on your body if you really want to be with a man who's going to take you completely because he's feeling your absolute openness? So you need to temper your, it's better to starve for masculine energy for years and attract an incredible man who feels the purity of your heart and sexuality and compromise yourself and become a semi-hardened woman in an effort to kind of ameliorate your craving for men. So you become this kind of semi-woman now. You're not giving yourself entirely, and then you'll attract semi-men who don't give themselves entirely. It'd be better to really, it is painful to be alone, so it's better to suffer that pain of being alone and not being with the man, but stay totally open, especially with your women friends. You can be very sensual or even sexual, but certainly you can enjoy sensuality and love and openness. Keep your body open, pleasurable, full, and then the good man will feel that and go, this is what I want. Not, that's what I want. A woman who's closed won't open to me. Which is what weak men want. Because then they don't have to be responsible for you. You obviously can take care of yourself. They're off the hook. They don't have to live in perfect integrity because you're too polite to say anything.
How do you do that in your business?
Depends how you want to live it. Obviously, most business interactions are masculine interactions. So you would have to use your masculine to do most, not all, but most business. After the business day, you would need to do something that helped you relax, take a bath, get a massage, dance, turn on your favorite music and dance. The best thing are practices like sacred dance, which aren't just dancing randomly, but dancing in specific ways that open your body devotionally. But you would also take breaks during the workday. Maybe every hour you even just go into the bathroom or walk out into the park or whatever is available so you could be alone for a few seconds and just breathe and open and feel fucked open by the moment. Or maybe you would even masturbate physically if that's, you know, like the woman, you know, maybe you would just be in the bathroom masturbating and opening for 5 minutes and you walk out into the business meeting. There's all kinds of ways to re-feminize yourself throughout the day, and then at the end of the workday, really re-feminize yourself. But the same practices in reverse apply to men who are like massage therapists. Because to be a massage therapist or a healer, you need to be in your feminine. So here's a man who all day is in the sensitive feminine place, and he comes home and he's still in the sensitive feminine place. Or men who work in nature, gardeners, any man who needs to be in tune with the feminine all day comes home with you, and he's been so feminized by the day that he's hardly like throwing you down and ravishing you. It's more like he's like, hi, God, it's good to see you. And you're feeling like, fuck me already, or, you know, at least emotionally, you know, take me, goddammit. So he needs to maybe come home and do whatever he needs to do to remasculinize him, which in most cases is feeling his death, feeling his deepest purpose in life, aligning his life to his deepest purpose based on death, and then coming out of his room and taking you as if you were dying, and this was the last moment, instead of taking you like some namby-pamby kind of thing. So it's very different practices, but the same thing applies. Men who become feminized by their work, they still might be great massage therapists. It's not a reason not to do that. Or a woman might be a great business person. It's just you need to feminize yourself or you'll become over-masculinized.
So what kind of things can I do to help with that?
Anything you can do to be extremely open in your feminine will help. Anything that doesn't allow you to open fully in your feminine will hurt. So what situations would really open your capacity to feel pleasure in your body, to open your heart, to feel devotional trust and surrender? The first key to opening your body to the feminine is feeling pleasure in your whole body. Your whole body. So your ankles are singing and your buttocks are singing and your breasts are happy and your fingertips are feeling the divine and your whole body is totally happy. If you're not there, then you're not nowhere near being open in your feminine. So do that first. Now once your whole body is just open and absolute, just like yes, there's a yes coming through your little toe. There's a left yes, like going out of your knee. Just your whole body is yes, 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 yes. Well, you got to get there first, so you got to figure out how to do that. Is it dance? Is it yoga? Is it walking outside? Is it massage, masturbation? Do whatever you have to do. So your whole body is yesing. Then allow your heart to open to the deepest reception of fuck or divinity or love that you give your heart to be claimed. Give your heart to be claimed by God, by a man, by anyone, by the deepest claimer you are willing to feel. Give your heart to be claimed while your body's open in ecstasy, and that's feminine practice. Now, one of the most traditional forms of doing that is sacred dance, because it involves opening your body and offering your heart to the divine to be claimed. But there are other ways of doing it. So you just need to find your way of doing that, and you need to then do it as a discipline, because you won't want to do it, or you'd be doing it already. You come home from work and you're going, I'm too tired to do it today, right now. But instead, even though you're tired, you have to go through it until you're feeling bliss in your whole body and you're offering your heart to be claimed. It's as strong a discipline as any man's discipline. It's just a discipline of ecstasy instead of one of death and purpose. No man wants to walk in and find his woman going something like that, you know? But if a man walks in and sees your whole body in ecstasy and your heart being offered, claim me, men, raise your hand if you'd enjoy that, walking in on that. Okay, it's irresistible. On the other hand, do you really want to walk in and find your man like going, oh, yes, 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 yes? Or would you prefer you walk in and your man looks you in your eyes, come here. You want your man to be grounded in death, knowing his purpose, and claiming you. You don't want him, you know, so you have to, but that's what you'll get if you give him purpose. You always reciprocate the energy. You always get the opposite energy.
Could you describe the masculine practice the way you just described the feminine?
I think I just did, but okay. What do you need to do before you die so that you could die absolutely complete, having given everything there is for you to give? If you can't answer that question, you need to feel into it, and that's the masculine practice. You need to feel, what do you need to do or become before you die so that you could die in bliss, having given everything to everyone and any dimension of your life, to your children, to your wife, to everyone you know, to the community, to whoever it is that you can, as large as you can. What do you need to give today? If you don't know the answer to that down to the minute-by-minute schedule of your day, then you're living an unguided life. I mean, how do you know what to do then? So like you come home from work and you've just made some money because you know it's kind of good to make money. And now you come home like your woman's doing what she's doing and your kids are doing what they're doing if you have kids or whatever. Well, what dictates your next action unless it's absolutely grounded in what you need to do before you die? If it's not grounded in that depth of purpose, it's a kind of ambiguous, like, oh, I guess I'll watch a little TV. Oh, maybe I'll shit and read the newspaper for a while. And I mean, you just kind of do whatever's there and feels okay. But if you're feeling, okay, how am I going to, now I'm home from work, let's say, how am I going to live the next 5 hours, say, before I go to sleep? So that I'm totally given. So that when I go to sleep, I will have felt I have given everything. Now, some of that might be resting. Like if it was an exhausting day, to give anything, you might say, well, for 1 hour, I'm going to sleep. Because that's grounded in your deepest purpose. You need to sleep. So then you sleep for an hour. Then you wake up and you feel, okay, now I'm going to call this friend and really talk to him because he needs to be talked to and I need to serve him. You call that friend. Now you're going to spend 45 minutes with your wife, opening her to God. So it's not just like, hi dear, how was your day? It's walking with the purpose, I'm opening you to God. Not now, fuck you. Bam! You know, like this. But then you don't linger. If you leave it up to her, it'd be like, more, more, more. It's just like, she's open to God, good. Now move on. What else are you going to do with your life? A man who wastes it on a woman is a lost man. I mean, she's going to die in any case. Now that she's open to God, have her give her gift to the world. How can she? You need to structure her life. So now that she's open to ecstasy, you say, now, give this to the kids. Give this depth of love to the kids. Or, now, go and paint. Or, now, go and talk to your friends. Or whatever it would be her best use of her life.
Are you really saying that he should tell me what to do with my life?
If he's better at that than you are, and you wouldn't be with a man in the third stage who wasn't better at that than you are. You choose a man who you trust more than you to guide your spiritual and sexual life open. That's the purpose of being with a man in the third stage. There's no, if he's not good at that, what is he good for? I mean, what are you with him for? Why not be with like a cat? Well, I'm serious. Well, let me answer his question first, okay? It's okay. These are just little buttons being pressed randomly at the moment. And this is also for your question, but the masculine practice then is to always feel your death, to feel death itself. And what death itself is the cessation of existence, of perception, of anything. Feel into nothingness. If you don't even know what that means, then you better get your ass in gear because half your life's over and you're going to die. You're going to die, right? I mean, you know that much. Well, you better find out what the hell you're doing alive while it lasts, or it's wasted. Find out what you're here for. Find out what life is. Apply yourself to that investigation. The most traditional methods of doing that involve some form of meditation, but you could also do it through rock climbing, through sports, through poetry, through study, through service. There's all kinds of ways. I wouldn't want to limit you. But in general, you need to investigate the part of existence that doesn't change. Find the part of you, for instance, one of the traditional ways of doing it, that is always... Can you remember something like when you were around 10 years old? anything in your life? Or 11 or 12 or 13? Can you remember anything from your childhood? Okay. Can you remember it happening? I mean, yes, right? You have a memory of things as a child. Okay, well, who was the one that remembered it then and is still remembering it now? That one didn't change, right? That's the part of you that's death. It never changes. Now, you may or may not have had this experience yet, but if you practice well, you'll realize that when death occurs, that's what's left. Nothing. But it's a cognizant nothingness. There has never been a time when that hasn't been there. With practice, with meditative practice, you can actually feel before you were born and feel that same, whatever you want to call it, that remembers events in your childhood and remembers events now. It doesn't have any qualities itself, but it's a kind of cognizant openness. It's hard to put words on something that has no qualities. But, well, the masculine practice is to rest as that and then feel what you're going to do with this life as long as it lasts, and to always give from that place of cognizant openness, from death. The way to access that is to feel yourself dead or as if you were dead, but it's as if there was nothing happening. And from that place, what are you going to make happen that has the taste of that cognizant openness? Sexually, that's all a woman wants from you. You could have no dick at all, and you could look into her eyes with the depth of death, and she would come. Ladies, raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Okay. Now, put your dick in her with that feeling. She comes a little sooner. That's the only difference, though. Not necessarily, actually. So, all she wants from you is that depth of openness. Imperturbable consciousness. All you want is that imperturbable consciousness, and the only gift you have to give is that imperturbable consciousness. Now, how you give it is your art. Have you chosen to apportion your lifetime to give it as a father, which takes 40% of your waking hours, say, as a carpenter, which takes 40% of your waking hours, and as a husband, which takes 20%. Whatever it is. You have to choose now. How are you going to give this gift through your waking state? I don't know. That's up to you. There's no way for anyone else to know that. I could tell whether you're doing it or not, but you need to discover how to do that. That's your life mission. And so, the masculine practice is to always live on mission, on purpose, founded in cognizant openness, discovered by knowing your depth or the deepest place of consciousness that never changes, and then to fuck the world and your woman and to offer that to your children constantly. That depth. If you're not doing that, everyone will complain, especially your woman, who's a concentrated dose of the feminine. All of this is the feminine. The whole world will complain, but she's going to complain the loudest. Your children will complain too in their way. They won't trust you. They'll lose respect. So that's the masculine practice. And it looks not like that, which is what the feminine practice often looks like. It looks more like, bam, motionless, absolute, fearless presence, which is very sexy to the feminine, but not to the masculine.
Can you give me some specific things that I can do to help me find that when I get home from work?
Yeah, well, again, there's millions of them, but I'll give you a few. Go to your room, sit down, make some comfortable position, and feel that place in you that has never changed, ever. That same place in you that was you when you were 10, 12, 15, that same place that's in you now. And get used to feeling that no matter what thoughts are going through your mind, no matter what pains you're feeling in your body, just whatever's happening, feel that place in you that still isn't changing. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Now that's a practice, because what'll happen is you'll easily get distracted and you'll start thinking of things you have to do and you go, oops, I'm not feeling that place anymore. You come back and feel that place. So you might need to do that for 5 or 10 years till you're fairly stable at feeling that place. Then you could expand and feel that place while you're sleeping, while you're dreaming. You could expand and feel that place while you're shit-faced drunk. You could expand and feel that place before you were born. I once had an experience where a doctor who had done this before, he injects you with something that kills you and then he resuscitates you, so you get that experience and you practice feeling that place then when you die. And when you're stable at feeling that place, I mean, there's still a lot of unpleasant things that happen. There's still pain and sickness and stuff, but I mean, you don't lose touch with the humor of the fact that all of this is just a temporary appearance in that. And that is eternal. And you are that. You. Me too, but this is that. But to sustain that capacity to offer that continuously through the way you have sex, through the way you get drunk, through the way you touch people, speak to people, walk, breathe, it takes a lot of practice because, as someone said, you have old habits. We all have habits. Like, you have a habit of not being in touch with that place. So you come home from work and you're not used to being in touch with that place. So you need to put a practice in place that will help you. So I would suggest go to your room and spend 15 minutes sitting alone, just getting in touch with that place that never changes. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Do that and then expand it to maybe an hour a day over several years of practice. And then when you get up, take that place with you, so to speak. Be that place. And are you married? Is this your partner? So walk up to her from that place. And then hug her from that place. And look into her eyes and give her that place of eternal, fearless, unchanging consciousness. Claim her from that place. You are mine. Find out what happens when you do that. Would you enjoy that? Find out what happens to your children when you offer them that place. Find out what happens to everyone when you offer yourself from that place continuously. Everyone will feel it and respond to you in different ways. And again, it's not always good ways. Some people are very threatened by that. And so they'll think you're the devil or whatever people feel. But anyone who's in the third stage will feel that and honor it. And then third stage men will come and be your friends and say, hey, let's hang. You go, yes, we could reinforce this in each other. When I slip, you remind me. When you slip, I'll remind you. You go home to your woman. She's fucked open by God all day. Like, geez. So now you just kind of insert yourself in God's place for a moment. Because you're transmitting the same one through your body if you're really practicing well and she's practicing well. This will be the last question and then we'll break and do practices till dinner. Yeah.
I was with a man who was always giving to everyone else, but I interpreted that as him not having enough of his own purpose, so he got lost in the purposes of others.
They probably were. What I'm talking about is not giving to others what they want. What I'm talking about is opening others to God, which usually is precisely not what they want. What I'm talking about is a man who creates freedom in a world or in you or in anyone by living the way that we were just describing and taking that depth of consciousness and inserting it or imposing it or invading it into people's lives so they open. They might chop more trees down just so the bastard has something to do with his life. They might walk up and punch someone in the face so they wake up. There's a whole history in Zen Buddhism of teachers like whacking people and so forth. If you're with somebody who's trying to serve other people's needs so he feels his own self-worth, that's the first stage. So if you're with a man, if someone's tree falls down and he helps him, someone needs this and he helps him, chances are that he's doing that because that's what makes him feel good. That's a first stage man. He's doing what makes him feel good. Do you understand that? So it's possible that your perception was accurate, that he didn't have his own purpose. And so he needed to do something, so he was using other people's needs as his purpose. That's much more common than what I was talking about. So there's a high probability that's the case. People find something like a social cause, world hunger, saving the forest, which are all beautiful things to do. But instead of knowing that that's what they need to do to give their deepest gift in serving all beings to awaken to God, they actually think they're going to save the forest, which is ridiculous because the whole world's going to evaporate in a supernova at some point anyways. I mean, nothing lasts forever. So to give all of your energy to sustaining anything, is, especially if you're humorless about it, that's the sign, the sure sign of a non-third stage activity is someone being humorless. You know, the trees are being cut down at an unnecessary rate. This could lead to total world catastrophe. The rainforest is being cut down at a rate that's astonishing. Now, all of that is true, and it probably will lead to the extinction of the human species within a few hundred years even. In the third stage, it's like, well, this is just one tiny domain of existence. And it's actually, this domain of existence is for people who are into sex, jealousy, anger, and aggression. You don't incarnate as a human unless that turns you on. All you have to do to see what human incarnation is about is turn on the TV. Because the TV is based on what people will watch, because commercials are what pay for TV. Commercials, you know, advertisements will only be on shows that are watched. So the way to actually find out what people's psyches are attracted to, including ours, is to turn on the TV. There is very little on TV. Today, Joe Blow opened to God and served the universe. There's a lot of, you know, a serial rapist went and, you know, and it's just like, oh, look at that, that's horrible. It is horrible, but we're attracted to it. How many people here, you see a car accident, you kind of slow down. You don't really want to see it, but it's like, there's something fascinating about it. Well, we incarnate into this realm because we're fascinated with these things. If we were no longer fascinated with them, this realm would be unnecessary. Now, people who aren't in the third stage don't feel this as a realm. They think this is a three-dimensional material reality that is what reality is. Then you get very serious about saving the rainforest and about being healthy and not doing drugs and exercising every day. You become a fascist, essentially, to make things stay the way they are. Now, there's nothing wrong with saving the rainforest or being healthy. That's a good thing. I mean, let's make this place as heavenly as possible. But that's kind of like saying, like being an earthworm or something, and some earthworm saying, there should not be dirt on our bodies. Well, you're an earthworm, you know? I mean, it's like, that's what earthworms do. They crawl through dirt. Well, what human beings do is they get involved in dramas of basically sex and money and food. If you took out all drama concerning sex, money, and food in your life, what would be left? How much of the day would be left? About as much of the day that an earthworm doesn't have dirt on their body. Like it crawls up to the surface for a few moments and then back down. Okay? This is the domain of preoccupation. And in general, the feminine becomes preoccupied in the drama of, he loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. He's good enough, he's not good enough. He loves me, he loves me not. An emotional drama is if love is sufficient. That describes 99% of what goes through the feminine psyche. What goes through the masculine psyche 99% of the time, I'm a success, I'm failing. Succeeding, failing, succeeding, failing, succeeding, failing. 99% of the time, no matter what else they're doing, they're on some kind of, am I winning, am I losing, Jag? And if they're not, they have to watch it on TV, the sports, you know. They're winning, they're losing, they're winning, they're losing. Total emotional, you know. Same thing with women. When they watch TV, it's like, she's losing him. They're in love. Oh, no, it's his brother. You know, just like. So the feminine is attracted to the drama of love and its lack. And the masculine is attracted to the drama of success or its lack. And that is essentially the definition of the human realm. If that no longer interests you, then you use the rest of this human lifetime to serve other beings, to open in ecstasy, to give your gift, to be free, happy, loving, humorous, full. And then when death comes, you find out what's after this. But the human realm itself isn't that serious. It's a temporary apparition, and nobody could disagree with that. There's not a single person who's been born that hasn't died or will die. It's just a temporary experience. And so if your man doesn't have that humor in his service, he's not in the third stage. If he does, he may be.